Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to this episode of Astros Baseball. On this episode, we are going to talk about Mookie Betts, something that he said about every game is going to be the World Series. FanGraph is predicting everyone's record for next year. And Bobby Witt got a big contract today. And we want to discuss, what does that mean for our boy Kyle Tucker? But anyway, joining me for their second episode of Astros Baseball, and this is their first live episode, Wally and Ryan. Fellas, what's up?
Doing well.
What's up, guys?
Well, ready for
what? What are we ready? Let's go.
Yeah, let's do it. It seems like every year when you are in a quiet spot in the off season, something happens. And then you're back to talking about baseball again. So let's talk.
Here we go. There's a lot of stuff going on. So today it was when I saw this, I think Ryan sent it out to us. And for some reason, I was thinking it was Whit Merrifield. But he's not even in Kansas City anymore, is he?
No, he's a free agent. He hadn't been signed.
But last year he was with Kansas City?
He was with Kansas City. I thought he get traded to Toronto. Or did he go to?
That's what I'm saying. Kansas. I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't remember.
He used to be the Kansas
Nashville
Golden Boy. Now,
he was. He was for a while. Yeah.
Now Bobby Witt Jr.
He ate our lunch.
He's the one man.
He would just eat our lunch. Yeah, he ended up in Toronto last year.
Oh, okay. So Ryan, talk about that contract a little. If you got all the.
It's interesting. And I think I saw Jason Stark, post something that was really interesting as well, where he said, this is proof that small or mid-market teams can do long-term deals with top-notch players. I think the thing that's interesting about this deal is the first couple of years, he doesn't make a ton, right? So I think he only makes $2 million. Although they gave him a $7 million plus signing bonus for 24, but then 25 and 26, gradually increase at 7 and 13, and then he gets into the big money of 30 and 35 from there. They gave him player opt-outs, right, after 7 years, I think, it's so 2030, so 6 years. So 2030, he has the option for a player opt-out. And every year after that, I'm looking at it right now, and I pulled it up. So 30, 31, 32, and 33 are player opt-outs. If he doesn't opt out, then he plays 34, and the team has a three-year club option for $33 million, $28 and $28 million to finish the contract out. So it could be a 14-year deal up to, what did that total, $344 million, something along those lines. So, I think it's interesting. I think there's something to what Jason Stark said, is it shows that teams that are willing to step up and that are smaller mid-market teams can do deals with top-notch players. Bobby Witt, he's only been 2 years in, I think, right? So they're making a huge commitment to him as a young player, but I think he's proven himself as a young player, he's one of
those
young guys.
So that means 4 of the years are sort of his
they bought 3 of his years out.
His arbitration and then – So a lot of people, you brought it up, small market team, right? And a lot of people are thinking, why would this guy commit to staying there? But he mentioned that he liked it there and it's home. But I can't say never, because the Royals have pulled it off before. But he's not really going to have a chance to win the World Series in Kansas City.
Kansas City seems to build and then they'll tear apart. They did it many, many years ago, and they did it in 15. They had those teams, and they knew they went for it, and they won. they were, you know, five outs away from losing to the Astros in the playoffs, but they did win. And this contract is basically a 7-year deal. If Witt stays longer than 7 years, he's probably not living up to the contract. And that's going to be more problem for Kansas City than trying to match the market. A lot of this is, you know, kind of fluff. So really, when you look at it, like Ryan was saying, it you've got 16, you're probably talking about a $50-60 million deal over, you know, whatever number of years it is, seven number of years it is. And then he gets a chance to go. Probably it's more than that, but you get the point. It's not near as onerous on the team long term as it would be, because he can opt out and probably will.
So there's no Shohei Ohtani magic in that contract. It's just straightforward.
They did. Yeah, they seem to think it was just a straight up. I didn't, Ryan, did you see anything?
I didn't see anything that spoke to any deferrals or anything of the sort, other than the player options coming up at the end. But, you know, Wally, you bring up a good point. The only reason that he would practice his player option is if he's playing like Shohei and feels like he can go get more than 30 or 35 million a year somewhere else. Right. So, it's interesting to see this come out of a team like KC. And, you know, Kansas City is definitely, like you said, Wally, one of those teams that seems to always build up around the time that they're looking for a new stadium, a new stadium deal. We could see that, you know, there's already talk of Kansas City asking for a new stadium deal. So I think this may be one of those, one of those feathers in the hat to say, hey, yeah, we're doing everything we can to build a winning organization. So give us a new stadium. Let us spend some money.
To be fair, that stadium's is the original stadium from six. Well, they played a year or so in Municipal Stadium, but you know it's a 50 some odd year old stadium.
A lot of people compliment it that go to it.
They say it's great.
Yeah,
it's one of the few that I've not been to, but I've heard that it's a nice, you know, vintage style stadium. Yeah,
I wanted to go last year because, you know, living in Texas and eating barbecue. Kansas City barbecue is supposed to be different, and I want to give it a shot. So, and then you also have the Negro League Museum. It seemed like I could keep myself busy for a couple of days.
Kansas City is a nice place. City.
Yeah, it is.
Very nice place.
All right. So, what do you think this contract, if it does anything at all, for Kyle Tucker? And you also have the fact that Tucker and the Astros agreed on a contract this year, they didn't fight over it. In my view, if you look at the roster, freeing up some money for Kyle Tucker, if this is something they want to do, it kind of looks to me like the Astros are going to spend money on pitching. I mean, but they did. Alex Bregman makes $30 million right now. So,
right.
So next year, after this season, that money will be freed up. If JV doesn't throw 140 innings this year, that $24 million will be freed up. We've got $54 million there to go make some kind of huge deal for Tucker, but what's it going to take?
Ryan and I were kind of chatting about this earlier today, and we were thinking who's going to be the GM and who's going to be the agent. You know, so if I'm his agent, I'm saying something along the lines, if we started at 8 and 320, you know, you structure it how you want to, you can start in a little lower, but you know, you agreed to 20 this year, right?
15.
Something like that.
12.
Is it 12? 12?
I think it was 12. 12. I think it was
okay. 12. And then Framber got 12.1. He wanted to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. Yep. He and Framber were the same number. You know, you work that number up to where, you know, it's, I don't think they're going to get a discount on him. Do you?
I don't think there's going to be a discount. You know, I think there's two sides to this that are really interesting when you look at the whole scenario. They went to arbitration last year and fought it out. Tucker wanted 7. Astros wanted to pay him 5. The Astros won. This year, they more than doubled that and came to the agreement, right? So knowing that they didn't go back to arbitration and fight him, knowing, one, he started the season slow. Two, he didn't have a really good playoff showing. He didn't show very well in the playoffs. And his defensive numbers went down this year. He was not the defensive guy, even though he ended up as a Gold Glove finalist, I think, wasn't he?
I think he was. Pena was not.
Right. But his defensive numbers took a little bit of a hit. But I think that knowing that they gave him the $12 million and they didn't argue about it, they didn't go to arbitration for it, shows that the Astros know what they have in Kyle Tucker and that they're willing to step up and, take care of him. And so I think that knowing last year and having to fight in arbitration left maybe a bad taste in Kyle's mouth this year. They said, we're not going to do that again. So maybe that's a good sign that they're going to be willing to negotiate in good faith with Tucker, knowing that he's got the potential to continue to be the guy that we know he is.
How old is Kyle?
And also, Tucker's 27, 28, somewhere in there.
Would you guys do 10 years, $350 million? $35 million a year? Is that too much? That's a lot.
10 years is a long time.
Yeah.
I will say this about Tucker.
But that's what he's going to want, though. If you want to keep him, like you said, you be the agent. He's the owner. I'm the agent. I'm saying I want 10, 350, and the Astros are going to say no, and then bye-bye, Kyle Tucker.
I've said for a long time that Kyle Tucker is going to get the biggest contract that the Astros ever sign. They lock up Kyle Tucker, he will get the biggest contract that Jim Crane has ever given. So I guess if we're fair, we'll just limit it to Crane. I can see a shift. We were all surprised at the Hader deal, right? So many of us were surprised because that didn't look like a Jim Crane contract at all. And so it leads me to question, has Crane changed his thought process behind the way that he's giving out contracts and knowing that he's got a guy like Kyle Tucker here that he can buy out some arb and extend and sign and, maybe play that good faith thing of Kyle Tucker being a homegrown guy that's played here, that's won championships here, that knows everything about the team. Will he take a discount because of all of that? I don't really think so, but I think that the Astros have they have good faith on their side, and they have some stability here in him knowing the club. So, it'll all come down to Jim Crane deciding whether or not he wants to buck his system a little bit, and maybe Dana Brown is the impetus to that.
Couple of things here, with Tucker, he's of the age and the position where the contract should age better than most people. You take somebody like a Judge, and they put that huge contract on Judge, and he's already 30. He's playing center field, and that body's going to wear down. Those guys that get those 10-year deals at 31, those last 3 or 4 years of that contract are going to be bad. Yeah. Something else with Tucker is they've got two other issues to solve before they get to Tucker, and that's Altuve and Bregman. So, like Ryan said, let's just keep him happy. Let's get that one off the plate. Now we can start talking about Altuve and Bregman and see if we can get them signed. As we said in the last cast, we all think that Altuve's got a higher probability. And to your point, Rob, that's $30 million that comes off the books that you can use someplace else.
Yep. I just look at Kyle Tucker, 30 homers, 30 stolen bases, 100 RBIs 2 years in a row, two-time second team all MLB last two seasons. Whatever this guy wants, he's going to get it, and he totally deserves it.
Yeah, he's earned it. He's a guy that, Wally just said it, he's been healthy too. He's not had any health struggles or issues. He's got a good build. He's got good work ethic. He's a prototypical guy that'll play well until his late 30s. Yep.
He's fundamentally so sound. You never see him throw to the wrong base.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's got all the tools. Strong arm, strong bat.
Let's lock him down, Uncle Jim.
Let's lock him down. All right, so in the background, folks, you probably cannot see this, but this was a discussion of ours over the phone, over text messaging today when I was at lunch. The new spring training cap has been unveiled, And although I'm not a fan of the, I'm going to call it the Captain America logo, I hate the Astros logo with that circle around it. I can't stand it. However, it's not black. It's not a trucker hat. It's not the same thing they wear every game. I like it. I just wish, if you saw the Cubs, someone had showed all of them, but the Cubs is like baby blue with the blue bill and the little cub walking. It's different than what they wear, not just the same logo with a circle around it. Like, put a rocket, put the old logo that Wally likes, you know, before the 70s, you know, like, do something different. But I like this. I like the Tampa Bay Buccaneer look. I have nothing negative to say about it.
It does remind me of the Tampa Bay, the original Tampa Bay helmets.
Yeah, Wally pulled that out of the archives. He said, look at the dual orange colors, and it looks like Tampa Bay's old colors.
There's a few of them that are nice. That, like, speaking of Tampa Bay has kind of a light blue with a kind of a yellow outline white starburst. It's pretty sharp looking.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm okay with the look. I don't hate it, and I'm not like super fan of it. I'm not sure that I'll go out and buy one, but it's okay, you know. It's not the light orange is not a color that with my complexion will probably go well. So I'll forego.
Well, like I said, the thing that I like about it is it's not the same hat. I'm not a fan of the trucker hat. I think they had like a. It looked like it was a black hat or something. I really didn't care for it. But anyway, let's move on.
Better than the last couple of years.
It is. It's an improvement. Yes. But let's get creative with the logo. Let's put a rocket on there. Like the Space Cowboys. They got creative logos. Mm-hmm. Let's do that. And I'm sure the guys that are controlling the Astros, they're the ones that made it. So hire them up, folks. Let's do it. All right, did y'all see the story? And I know you did because we talked about it at lunch. Mookie Betts, if you guys didn't hear this, everyone out there listening, Mookie Betts said every game is going to be the other team's World Series. I'll start with you, Wally. You can say fair or foul. Do you agree with this? What is your thoughts on it? And then when you're done, go ahead, Ryan.
Well, I hope it's like every day's like a World Series to them, because last time we played them in the World Series, it turned out okay. They, you know, just looking at the Dodgers, anytime someone talks like that, they're setting themselves up for a fall. And when you look at the lineup, yeah, they've got a lot of stars, but it's pretty top heavy. You know, you've got Teoscar Hernandez on the team. They're playing him up, and he's got the Joaquin Andujar school of hitting, swing hard in case you hit it. And they've got James Outman's in center field. He's fine. Yeah, you've got Ohtani, who's, you know, a seminal player of our time, but he's a DH and DH only. And the way so many managers like to use their players now is the DH is a glorified day off. Yep. Well, you know, if somebody's going to get that glorified day off, Ohtani's going to sit. And by doing that, you diminish your lineup, because he's a better hitter than anybody else is on that in that team.
Yeah, you know, I think my first reaction is win the World Series, Mookie, before you can talk about, you know, people thinking that playing you is the World Series. You know, I'm okay with athletes having confidence. And knowing certain things about themselves and putting that out there. I just think that this was a little extra egotistical on his part, and it's a bookmark that a lot of people are going to save. And, you know, maybe it's a little encouragement for them to play up to the, you know, the payroll, and to play up to the expectations that they have. And that's fine. But, you know, in my opinion, man, win it before you start talking trash about it, you know. You
like brought up Shohei last year.
Yeah, you know, everybody
who didn't
went
think
after the
Mets were going to go to the World Series with that team, and they sold the other players at the deadline.
The thing about that, though, is that everybody went after them, and they didn't perform, right? And so Mookie's saying that everybody's going to go after them. They're going to bring their A game, and so, you know, they better play up to those expectations, because like you said, you know, they've got the lineup, they've got the guys, their pitching is a little probably where their question mark is.
Yep.
You know, Shohei, and the guy just came back from Tommy John. Like, is he really, he's saying he's hitting, but is he really hitting, and how good is he going to hit, especially once he starts throwing? Now that's the big question, right? Is in his rehab, once he really starts throwing the ball, you know, man, he's going to deal with soreness. He's going to deal with, is there scar tissue in there that he's going to have to struggle through? What's that going to do to his rhythm and his hitting and his, you know, his endurance? So I still think there's a lot of questions about the Dodgers. Just because they've got some big payroll guys doesn't necessarily mean, look at what the Padres did last year, man. They spent a ton of money, put together what a lot of people also thought was a dream team, and they crash and burn. So put your ego aside, Mookie, and let the proof be on the field, man.
Well, here's the Dodgers projected starting rotation. Yamamoto, you know, he looks great on film, but you know, Japanese pitchers coming over to the MLB can, you know, have mixed success. We expect them to be good, but you never know. Tyler Glasnow and James Paxton are two others. Those two guys are walking DLs. And Bobby Miller, who's fine, but he's a rookie, and Emmett Sheehan. He'll be a second year guy. That's not the pitching staff that's going to scare you.
What about when you get the tight pants? Staff,
what's that?
Bueller, Joe Kelly? Is he? No.
Oh, he's Bueller.
Bueller's not ready to throw.
Tommy John. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tommy John. He's out. He's out until August. And when you get
Kershaw probably won't sign until May.
Yep. Well, you know, and you get pitchers. You get hitters who know that they're behind 4-0 when they get to the first inning, at the end of the first inning, because their pitchers can't get anybody out. They start pressing. You know, one thing leads to another, builds on another, and it can, you know, can unravel pretty quick. Now, they should win close to 100 games, but it's not a guarantee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my thought on this is that that's how I feel about the Astros for like the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
When people go up against the Astros are playing teams, even if they're not good teams, even if they're not in the division, they want to beat the Astros because they don't like them. So we've been getting other teams A games all along. But
yep.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's look at FanGraphs. Let's look at FanGraphs real quick, because we're talking about Mookie Betts. And so FanGraphs has the top four teams. They have the Atlanta Braves at 98-64. They have LA Dodgers at 91-71. They have the Astros one game behind. And maybe it'll change when, you know, some pitchers sign with the Dodgers. The Mets 90-72, just like the Astros. Both teams 90-72. That's your top four.
Is it the Mets or the Yankees?
Is it the Yankees? Did I write it down wrong?
I think it's the Yankees.
Okay. I was wondering how the Mets got good again. So it's the Yankees 90-72. And if you look at our division, Seattle 85-77, and they got Texas 81-81. What do you guys think about these records?
I'm not sure I buy them.
Go ahead, Wally.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to, you know, I think there's a lot to be said for some of these projections and looking at the makeup of a team, right? I'm a huge stats and analytics guy. I love to look at the numbers and the data and try to extrapolate certain things from that. You know, the interesting thing about these numbers, and you look at the makeup of the teams that are at the top, right? Atlanta, not a lot of movement there, right? They're coming back with the same team that won 96 last year, right? Or whatever it was that they won last year. The Dodgers have made all of these moves. It's not the same team. It's not the same makeup, though their core is pretty similar, right? The Astros, again, not a lot of change within the Astros. You know, we dropped the anemic bat of Maldi. You've got Yiner that's going to play a little bit more. And you've got Jake Myers that's projected to be the center fielder. So what is, you know, what does that do? I think you're still in the plus there, because Jake's bat's better than Maldi's was. So you're not seeing a ton of change within some of those top teams there, and the Yankees the same, right? So I think that those projections, numbers wise, I haven't dug into a ton of it, but if you're trying to pick out, you know, those top four or five, six teams, it's going to be those teams.
Yeah.
There's not anybody that I think is going to end up coming out and surprising everyone. Maybe the Orioles come out and win four or five more games than they're getting credit for. Maybe the Rangers pull off a few more games than what they're getting credit for, but they lack a lot of depth in certain places. So I think that those numbers are probably pretty close.
Yeah, yeah. I think the Rangers are probably a starter short, but their lineup is really good. And, you know, they brought Travis Jankowski back, who on his own is not a huge piece, but yeah, you know, they pretty much traded out Evan Carter for Grossman. You know, Carter played in the World Series, but Grossman didn't. And so you're bringing back Jankowski as the Grossman kind of guy. You know, their starters are Eovaldi, Gray, Heaney, Dane Dunning, Corey Bradford. You know, you got a couple of guys in there. Maybe Dunning is okay from time to time, but I mean, who's Corey Bradford? You've got DeGrom and Scherzer coming back in July and August. They did make a couple of good adds in their bullpen with Robertson and Kirby Yates. So they're going to give the Astros everything that they can handle. The Yankees, looking at their lineup, it's, to me, looks like a typical Yankee basher, poorly constructed lineup.
The World Series winners are going to be the Kansas City Royals, because they signed Will Smith.
He's well, or whatever, in a row. Or whatever team Will Smith gets traded
name
to
me,
in yeah. August.
Right? Name yeah. me one player. Name me one player who's done less for his team and has gotten one back-to-back rings than Will Smith.
I can't. Back-to-back-to-back.
Back-to-back-to-back.
That's right, because he closed out the yep. Astros.
Yeah. So the last – this is something that I spoke with Wally before you came on, Ryan. Here's the bottom teams. It's not actually, there's one in between these two, and I didn't write it down. I just wanted to compare this. Oakland 72-90. I remember last year, everybody's like, they're not even going to win 30 games. And they ended up doing okay. But they got them 72-90. But what's crazy is Oakland's pretty much given up on life. And Colorado 62-100. How bad are they? How does Colorado not have money to build a good team? Aren't they like a big market?
Yeah, I mean, you know, medium large market. You know, they've been that team, though. They've been that team that, you know, goes through the roller coaster. They'll build up a couple of years, maybe get to the playoffs, maybe be on the, you know, on the edge of a wild card. And then they'll be crap for 4 or 5 years. The stadium is amazing. If you've never been to Coors Field, go check it out. Yeah, Colorado Rockies, I don't know what's going on over there. I don't pay attention too much to everything that's happening in that system, but it's a train wreck lately for sure.
Now, Jim Bowden, I was listening to MLB radio, and Jim Bowden was talking about him one day. And Jim Bowden's just such a great listen. On MLB radio, he said one of the things that always got him about the Rockies was they never get out of their comfort level. They always promote from inside, and they've stunk for years. And so they bring up guys from the inside who have that stunk mentality, rather than bringing somebody in from the outside who can shake things up and give a new life. So, you know, it's kind of the definition of insanity, sort of team. You're going to get the same 70, 75, 68 win team until they decide to do something different. And then they go out and sign Chris Bryant.
All right. Our next topic is, I got to write that dude's name down. It's the guy from last time that I took the story about the Chili's. How far away the Chili's are. But he had this graphic. It's how many runs you score in a game. Because when I would watch the Astros, I'm like, if they score four, they're probably going to win. And so this is really cool to see. It's every run, you know, if you score zero or one or two or seven or whatever, what's the winning percentage and the overall record and who did it the most? And I won't get into all of that, but of course, if you score zero, you are zero winning percentage, and it's zero and 309. So that means there's 309 shutouts. And the Oakland A's went 0-16. They had 16 shutouts. And if you score two runs, your winning percentage is 231, and Oakland's 9-27 on that. So that's 9-33 just scoring 2-1 runs. And if you look at the what I was saying about scoring four runs, that's a 484 win percentage. So that's going to take some good pitching. So looking at this, you better score five runs, and you score five runs a game, you're in the playoffs. 636. It's not bad. It's five or six. Six is pretty good. I think the Astros last year were, I think they scored 504 and they allowed 4.3, something like that.
Yeah, I don't remember what those numbers were, but I think it was probably towards the end of September. I think that I had calculated if they scored 4.7 runs, you know, they had a 80% chance of winning that game, you know. So yeah, that magic number being five, there's something to be said about that magic number five, especially for the Astros. You know, around the league, it's interesting that you see, you know, run scored has gone up, right? Pitch clocks, stolen bases. There's some of those things that have happened. We've seen the instance of the juiced balls and some of those types of deals. Offense being a huge thing. It's interesting to hear some of this and what you're bringing up and the research behind what is your winning percentage when you score a certain amount of runs. There's obviously a lot of things that go into that. You know, who are you playing? Who's the pitcher? You know, what's the ballpark? So there's a lot of variables there when you're really looking at winning percentage by number of runs scored. But it's really interesting when you get to the end of the season and you look at your team specifically and say, you know, how good were you when you scored X amount of runs, and building a team around knowing that you can put that many runs on the board any given night based on a specific lineup, matchups, you know, again, another variable. But when you've got a team built to score runs all the way up and down a lineup like the Astros do, you know, scoring 4.7 runs most of the 80% of the time is a pretty good problem to have.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, where the Astros – I took just a quick look, and it was like 5.1 versus runs for and 4.3 against. You know, when you're scoring the better part of a run more than your team a game, you know, you're going to win.
Yeah. If you go all the way to 10 runs scored per game, the winning percentage is 949. The Texas Rangers, the offensive powerhouse, 25-1.
And you know what that was? You know what that one they lost was?
I'm assuming it was
a game. The Astros were up 10-0 or 10-1. The Rangers came back and took like a 12-11 lead or 11-10, and the Astros scored in the ninth to beat them like 12-11, 13. I was driving down from Dallas around the 4th of July, wasn't it, Brian?
I think so. Yep.
It was a nuts game.
It was midseason. That was a crazy game. Pretty sure it was a game that I turned off and turned back on.
Yeah.
Because my phone was banging, you know. I was like, oh my gosh, what is happening? I gotta turn this game back
on. Well, I was listening to it on the car coming back from Dallas, and I was, you know, you say bad words in celebration, then you say bad words because they're not doing so well. Then you're so worn out at the end of the game, you just want to stop and take a break.
Find a Buc-ee's.
So nine runs is 907. Eight runs is 844. So you can kind of watch with these numbers, you can kind of watch the Astros game. You're like, oh, they got six runs. That's a 70% chance they're going to win. And I'd like to keep up with the Astros, but if you score nine runs, you're 147-15. And the Cincinnati Reds are 9-1. The Dodgers had the most 8-run games. They were 14-5. Milwaukee had the most 7-run games, or they had the most wins, 18-2. So that's that. So score runs, win games.
Runs, yep. Win games.
And then there's the Rockies.
And then there's the Rockies. So there's a lot of stuff we can keep up with this year, folks.
Yeah.
All right. So finally, if you are watching live or later on watching on YouTube, what is it called? A banner? Ticker. Mm-hmm. The ticker on the bottom. The Texas Rangers have the number 3 farm system. They got ranked number 3. And let me step back and talk about the Astros. They have the worst. They have the worst, you know, the last few years. But they keep bringing people up. They bring people up that aren't even in the top 100, and they produce. And then you have players that are in the top 10, and they don't do anything. So I don't really care about any list saying that our farm club is the worst. It could be because it's pretty depleted, but the Rangers said, we aren't going anywhere. They were very confident in that. So I took this list here also from the same guy, which I got to tag him. Makers, but I don't know. I don't want to say the wrong name. So drafting wise, the Astros made 329 picks, 77 of those picks. And I don't know the time frame of these picks, but 329 picks, 77 of them reached Major League Baseball. That's 23% of their draft picks. And they're first. They're the best at that. And they're also the team with by far the most homegrown talent on their roster, by far. The Dodgers are number 2. Mm-hmm. They're 20%. Well, the Dodgers and the Yankees, they're both 20%. And what's funny, these are both two of the teams that are in the top 5 of the best teams winning percentage we talked about earlier. Texas, 326, 51. They are 16th, tied for 8th, which is still pretty decent, but they're not going anywhere. But we're number 1 and they're number 8 in getting your young kids to the major leagues, the people you draft.
Yeah, I think the Rangers, you know, the Rangers have had good farm systems for a while. It as much as it pains me to say it, it seems as though they took a turn when Nolan and Reed Ryan left the Astros and went back to work with the Rangers. I'm not a huge expert on the minor leagues and keep up with a lot of the inner workings of what goes on in the farm systems, but there seems to have been something that, you know, that kind of changed within the Rangers system when the Ryans got back involved. The Astros have forever been going all the way back to, you know, Lunau days. It was one of the things that he very specifically put in place was player development. And it was top of the list of things that he wanted to put together. His drafts were designed to not always necessarily take the best player available, but he wanted to quasi build a team every year of very specific players with very specific talent sets, and then develop them. And I think that, you know, that DNA has stayed with the Astros, obviously, for a long time. They're not stacked full of top level talent, but they have very specific players that are very specifically chosen because of what the Astros plan to do with those guys. And so the problem that has created over the years is that the Astros have developed top level talent that come up and stay. And so now you've got pretty good talented guys that are 25, 24, 25, 26 years old. They're starting to age in the minor leagues because there's nowhere for them to come up to, because you've got the Altuves, the Bregmans, the Tuckers, you've got those guys that are up here that have stayed and have proven themselves. And so I think this is one of those things that over the next few years, we have to watch the shift again and see, you know, if Bregman doesn't re-sign, if Bregman isn't extended or re-signed here, what do the Astros do there? Do they try to bring up a Will Wagner? Do they try to bring up a Lou Perfitto? Who do they bring up to really start to plug into these places? Because some of that talent that they have is got some age on it from a minor league standard. And so I can see you in this rankings and the way that it works, why the Astros are ranked lower. But if you flip that script and said, you know, how do we look at the player development? And I think this, you know, this exercise that you're going through really shows that the Astros very specifically have targeted certain talents to fit a need, as opposed to just filling the farm full of mass, you know, players with decent talent.
And, you know, at the end of the day, your farm team is made to do one thing: make the big league team better. No one's carrying flags of the Pacific Coast League championship at Minute Maid Park. I mean, nobody cares. And one of the things the Astros have also done so well is they've taken this such a novel approach at the international market. So many of these teams go after the 15, 16 year olds and they throw money at them. Whereas look at the guys who Astros have as main parts of their staff, you know, Garcia. You know, yeah, he's injured, but you've got Garcia, you've got Urquidy, you've got Fromber, you've got Javier. All those guys were high teens, low 20s guys, and they signed them for cheap, and they picked them up, and they developed them. You know, one thing that Dana seems to be trying to do is he seems to be trying to build that farm up again, though, trying to take the Braves aspect, because one thing that Luno did do that was – I didn't agree with, and a lot of people didn't, is he got rid of a lot of the scouts. He went to a lot of the video, a lot of the analytics, taking pictures of them. You know, you don't get a chance to look at somebody's in the eyes and see, you know, see what they're made of. And I think that was a big part of the Astros farm system dropping, is they lost that key element, and they're trying to build that back. And it would not surprise me to see the farm get better. You don't have to have the best farm team all of them. Of everybody. You just got to be able to feed the pipeline.
That's true. And they got rid of two huge pieces last year to get Justin Verlander. So,
well, and I think that's, you know, that's the other side of the coin to look at, right? Is building, you know, building your assets, your tradable assets. And I think that that's where the Astros have thinned out, because they've taken a different approach. And so when you've got the opportunity to go out and get a Justin Verlander or, you know, a Blake Snell, supposedly as conversation was happening over the course of the trade deadline last year, you're limited in being able to do some of those deals because you just don't have the assets.
But, you know, one thing, when they traded Gilbert, I was looking at some numbers today, and you look at Gilbert's size. Yeah, he's a spark plug, 5'9", whatever. You know, 5'9 guys tend not to wear well in the bigs over a period of time. Yeah, they can, but they tend to wear out more. You look at a guy like Melton, you keep Melton because he's 6'3", 6'4", and he's, you know, he can run, he's an athlete, and that's the kind of guy you can project to be a major league center fielder. And, you know, if Tucker doesn't stay, then you're ready. You know, Melton is a year or two away. You can plug him into right field and at least give him a shot.
All right. So one last thing that I saw, but I have one more thing after that. That's not in the notes. It's about Ryan Pressly. So don't let me forget. Another one that he had on there that was interesting. And this, I'm gonna go ahead and put him up there, because it has something to do with Ryan Pressly and the bullpen. We talk about how good the Astros bullpen and how much better it is even now, you know, adding Josh Hader. It has it for every team, but I only wrote a few down. But if the game had ended in the seventh inning last year, and this shows you the strength of your 8-9 guy, Texas would have plus 10 wins. So they lost 10 games late.
Because of the back end of their pen, yeah.
The Astros, yep. You know how many games that they lost?
Not
zero. The game, their record would not be different if they stopped the games in the seventh. Now, there could have been some they won.
Don't give Rob Manfred any ideas. He can come up with some stupid idea.
So the Texas, if Texas would have got the plus 10, they would have finished 162. Astros stayed the same. The worst team. Oh, maybe that ain't the worst team. Oh yeah, I guess high numbers are worse. So the second worst is the Padres. If the game would have ended in the seventh, they would have won 8 more games. So there you go.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's interesting to, you know, it's interesting to look at that. And that's, you know, that's super frustrating. And, you know, the interesting thing and that is bringing this to mind is, you know, 21, 22, the Astros were really good scoring runs late in games. And last year, they just kind of didn't really have a lot of comeback in them. So it was good that they had a bullpen that could keep those games, you know, on lock at the end there in 7, 8, and 9. And so it's really good to hear that with Hader, we've got even more of a lock that if you can get some runs scored and take a lead into that last part of the game there, that you've got a high percentage chance of taking that W home. I'd love to see them figure out how to score more runs late in games. We'll see what comes of that this year.
Last year,
what happened to Ryan Pressly, or the story about him? Do y'all know?
Yeah. Do you want to tell? Pressly.
Go ahead.
Pressly
go ahead.
Driving Warren. Around the Pressly was driving around the neighborhood, and some kid was throwing a baseball out with his mom, as they do every day. And Pressly drove by. Stopped his truck, asked the mom for the glove, and then played catch with the kid. How cool is that?
It just speaks to the culture and just how great these guys are. You know, not that that wouldn't happen anywhere else with another player on another team.
Yeah,
but that's just so Houston Astros player ish. Like it's just a thing. That doesn't necessarily surprise you that a guy from the Houston Astros, you know, got a little bit of media attention for doing. I love it. It speaks volumes.
We've been so lucky in this town, and not just in baseball, but in a lot of these sports going back many years, where, you know, we've been pretty fortunate that we've had, for the most part, really good characters around in the teams that have played in Houston. And if they don't, they seem to be ushered out.
Yeah, or find their own way out, right?
Yeah. Tends to happen that way.
We really like these guys on our team, and especially like Altuve. Mm-hmm. Like, this guy's the nicest guy in the world. And even my brother, he's like, I hate that guy. And I'm like, how can you hate him? The way he spits and he does this and that. I'm like, I guess if they're on your team, like the good example was Roughneck Odor. It's like, I could stand that guy.
How could you like that guy? How could
would
you
I like that guy if he was on our team and he was really good? Probably, but I couldn't imagine it.
I don't know. I mean, Rob, you might want to pick a better example than that one.
Yo, Odor Haymaker.
I get your point. I get your point. He and Joey Bats need to go into a cage match and finally end it all.
That would be fun to watch. Yeah, you know, there's something about the city and you know, like you said, maybe it's ownership in the teams and maybe it's the fans rubbing off on the players, you know, and just the culture here is really cool. It's really fun. I mean, you know, Jose Abreu got into town and got right to work in the community. You know, all these guys, Breggy does a ton with the you know, with the autistic community locally, and these guys just really, really integrate themselves into, you know, into the community and love on the fans and love on the city. And it's just so great to see again, not that other cities don't have this with their players, but it just seems like there's something different about these guys here.
Yeah. Tucker,
you don't hear much about it, but McCullers is really big into animal welfare.
Yep. All right. Do you guys have any final thoughts before we head out of here?
No. Yeah. Well, you got anything, Ryan?
No, I don't really have anything specific. I could talk sports and baseball and Astros all night, but it's always good to get together with you guys and yap it up a little bit. Good episode.
All right.
And
so
we're T-minus how many days to pitcher and catcher report? Are we 12 days out?
We're now 14th. Oh, till pitchers and catchers. So it is the 14th. I saw Abby Dubin post a picture of now his first name has totally slipped my mind. Anyway, her husband Dubin, the pitcher, going to the airport. So Sean. Sean Dubin. Headed down a few days early. So she posted a picture of him with his luggage walking into the airport. So apparently he's going down to get a head start.
They do the pitchers and catchers and everybody goes. They're all ready to go.
Yep. So it's exciting.
So different than what it used to be. They used to go down there and fatten out of shape and they went to get in shape. Now you better be in shape.
So my final thought is this, sirs. I don't know if this was one of those fake stories, but they were talking about Ryan Pressly got in trouble for something he did with a little kid and his mom. I don't know if he has something in his contract that he can't be out throwing the baseball. I don't know if this is BS. I don't know if this is real, but I'm definitely going to look into it. But anyway, that's it, folks, for another episode of Astros Baseball. For Wally and Ryan, we really appreciate you tuning in, and we'll see you Thursday night for another episode.
All right.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.